now listening to the Paul McGuire Report, and this is Paul McGuire. I've spent a great deal of my life considering a number, a fairly large number actually, of what I call primary themes. In other words, what are the big bullet points regarding life, our life? What are the big bullet points? Because nobody has the time or whatever the inclination to understand everything on the microcosmic level. In other words, by traveling into the world beyond a microscope, the average person doesn't have the time or really the need to understand things at a microscopic very, very tiny level and perception. So we need bullet points. We don't all have time to read the whole report. So we need bullet points, which captures the key truths, the powerful secrets, etc. When I write my books like The Greatest Battle and others, I don't use bullet points per se, but I use a fast-moving style. Because you have to engage people's minds. If you can't grab somebody's mind, then they're not going to read the book. They're going to miss out on the truth. Now, some people will. But you see, this whole battle, and it is a battle, you're in the middle of a battle right now, whether you realize it or not. If I was to stand next to you or sit next to you or walk next to you or whatever while you were listening to this audio of the Paul McGuire Report, and if I was to look you right in the eyes, in a nice way, look you right in the eyes and ask you, like, what are the key things that are like pressing in upon your life right now? Like, what kind of struggle, what kind of conflict, what kind of trial, whatever. Those would be the bullet points. And every one of us get up daily and we deal with this stuff, okay? But what we don't do, because there's not a whole lot of people to teach us, what we don't do is learn how to overcome that stuff, be victorious over that stuff in a knockout way. You know what I'm saying? So you don't spend your life wandering through the spiritual wilderness for 40 years. So right now, as I'm talking to you, we're in an unusual time period in history, the history of the nation, the history of your life, my life, the people we know, the history of people all across the world. We're in a very unique time zone, and we need to recognize that. And when we're trying to solve things, when we're trying to gain perspective, we need to incorporate that into the equation, that this is a unique time zone, and there are unique parameters and rules and things going on that don't normally go on at this level. So why am I saying all of this? Because I haven't even gotten into the area where I want to expose, through Bible prophecy, through historical research, the secret or secrets behind what's happening now. And that what's happening now was predicted or projected in a variety of ways, going back thousands of years ago. It was predicted, maybe not every itemized thing, but the general category. So let's give you a for example. We are dealing with the nation and the world with the coronavirus, okay? A pandemic. Now, it's not an accident that Jesus Christ said in the signs of the times, when he was telling us about what would be the signs of the times that would occur right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus mentioned a lot of things, but one of the things he mentioned was that in the last days there would be an increase in the amount and number of disease epidemics, pandemics, plagues, etc. So one of the key signs, according to Christ, of the end times is a vast increase in plagues, disease outbreaks, and all that kind of stuff. But that would include, by the way, of course, the coronavirus pandemic. The coronavirus pandemic, whatever you want to say about it, fits into the category that Christ was talking about, one way or another, as a sign of the time. Now, so as we're going through this, two things should go through our mind. Number one, we need to realize that this is a reminder, this pandemic, that we're in the time period that Christ talked about. Number two, that you need to incorporate that understanding of where we are in terms of the prophetic calendar and what Jesus Christ, and incorporate that into our thinking when we try to process through all of this pandemic-related stuff like finances and health and decisions and so on and so forth. That's number one. So when we're processing, we need to be careful to process all this data and information with the mind of Christ. And how do we activate the mind of Christ? We make a habit out of reading and studying God's word. We make a habit of hearing God's word or hearing people teach on God's word. And that renews our mind and lets us access the mind of Christ by faith. And then, just on a different level, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. It's the Spirit of God that gives us wisdom. So we ask God, like in the book of James, we ask God for wisdom and knowledge, and then we put our faith in God and trust God to give us wisdom and knowledge regarding whatever it is. Okay, so that means every one of us, to varying degrees, and if not just us, but our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, people we know of, et cetera, we are all being impacted to a variety of degrees and situations. We are all being impacted on a societal level and a global level. We're being impacted by the coronavirus. Not just biologically or in terms of our health, but we are being impacted by the coronavirus psychologically, in terms of our emotional and psychological well-being. We are being impacted. And we are also being impacted on the survival level in terms of income, jobs, or the need for a job, finances, that whole area of economics is being impacted. And we could go down the list. So when you process through stuff, okay, let's say you lost employment or you fear losing employment. You don't start contemplating or thinking about it and begin by beating yourself up, calling yourself a loser or a failure, or if I'd just done this or just done that and everything else. You don't start off by abusing yourself psychologically, because that is not a truthful evaluation of yourself, by the way. And none of us should ever evaluate ourselves from the perspective of a lie. If every one of us from time to time check ourselves out, question why we did this, why we didn't do that, or whatever. And many times you and I will secretly blame ourselves for what we perceive that we did wrong. But if we're processing our reality together, which we are, every one of you, unless you like hyper compartmentalize or whatever, every one of you is an increased mode of processing all kinds of thoughts because you and the people you love and know are being impacted and affected at an extraordinary level. So as you're doing that evaluation, you have to do it from a truthful perspective. If you are evaluating yourself or friends or whatever, and you're doing it through a non-truthful or lying perspective, then that is going to lead to equations that don't say 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's going to say stuff like 2 plus 2 equals 7. Why? Because, for example, people that you know, maybe yourself, you've been blaming yourself. You've been beating yourself up. You have been ripping into yourself for your faults. Now, that's not a fair processing. That's not a truthful processing of reality. Because you forgot to add into the equation all these externals, which you or somebody you know or whoever, but let's start with you and me, which you did not know. These externals that are happening, that you did not know, I did not know, many of us did not know. I mean, we may know have known certain percentages. I wrote about numerous things in my books, said they would come true, and they have. But that doesn't mean every word that I've written about and said is going to come true in the future. That doesn't mean it's come true yet. Some things won't come true for who knows how long, however long the Lord tarries. So we don't like intensely blame and beat ourselves up. We have to include in the equation the fact and the reality that you and I have been besieged by a literal spiritual warfare of all kinds of things and stuff that is adversarial, that is negative, that comes to kill, steal, rob, and destroy. Which, by the way, in the Bible, when it talks about the mission of Satan, the Bible teaches us that the mission of Satan is to kill, steal, and destroy. So whether you call it a pandemic or riots or whatever, the economy or whatever you want to call it, behind all of it is the work of the devil in the spiritual realm who comes to kill, steal, rob, and destroy. But here is the vital and essential important truth that has to be interjected at this juncture, and this is what it is. Just because the devil has a temporary license to be the temporary god of this world, and just because God allows the devil to, within certain limitations, to go around stealing, killing, robbing, and destroying people in their lives. Remember that the verse doesn't say it's guaranteed that the devil will be successful in doing that. The devil is going about like a roaring lion. Didn't say he was a roaring lion. He's going about as like he was a roaring lion, seeking whom he can kill, steal, and destroy, which implies that the devil cannot just target anybody and kill, steal, and destroy from just anyone. The devil has to find a soft target. The devil has to find a person or a group of people that have left the door open in the spiritual realm, so to speak, and they are vulnerable to experience the killing, the stealing, the theft, and the destruction of the devil and the devil's forces. But not for a moment, is it God's will or God's desire for the devil to kill, steal, and destroy from you or the lives of your loved one. That is not God's will. And he emphatically states that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So as we're processing this all through, we use the mind of Christ. We look at it from a truthful perspective, which incorporates the fact that no, all of this did not happen because we were lazy or didn't do our job or didn't work hard enough or didn't whatever. That cycle of blame has to end because it's not true. You have to take into account all these external things that really hit individuals, humanity, our nation, and the world with a tremendous negative impact. And I'm talking about the coronavirus pandemic, the economy, the employment sector, and all the related areas. When you process all this, you have to process in all these related areas. And the bottom line is, it is not God's will, nor is it his desire or plan for his people. And what does it mean when the Bible says for his people? It means you. Yeah, it means specifically you. Assuming that when I say you, that you are indeed a genuine born-again Christian whose sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's blood on the cross, and that you have, with an act of your will, invited Jesus Christ into your life, and you've asked him to make you born again, and then you were born again. The Spirit of God came in you, and you were saved. You are born again. Because you see, if you're born again, and if you're saved, then you are his child. You are a child of God. And that comes with enormous benefits. You're also a joint heir with Jesus. That means you jointly are part of the infinitely vast inheritance that Jesus Christ is going to possess. You're going to share in that infinite inheritance because you are a joint heir with Jesus. Now, that's really powerful stuff. So, when it comes down to the world and nation that we live in, etc., and all the conflicts that have erupted and destructive forces that have erupted due to numerous factors, including the pandemic, God, when we read God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, when we study God's Word, when we pray to God, when we cry out to God, when we walk to God, God will teach us, God will give us supernatural wisdom and guidance at a much higher level. And as we do that, we will be growing in his knowledge and his wisdom and his perception and his understanding. And we will read historical example after historical example in the Bible of real people who once really lived with real names, real jobs, real locations, real wives, real husbands, real children, named the whole story, and their life story in summary is put there in the Bible. Now this should just fill you with hope and power and joy that is rock solid. And that is this truth. Because you are his child, because you're born again, because your sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're saved. That means you're his child. So like all these stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament of men and women that were his child, they were the children of God. All those historical stories of all those families in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you can read in account after account of all kinds of family, Moses and his family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Adam, on and on and on. Solomon, Joseph. So you read all that stuff and you read example after example, historical account after historical account, how all these specific people got into trouble, faced enormous trials. Things didn't always go their way. Sometimes it was like all hell had come loose and was coming against them. They had to suffer through economic chaos and crisis. They had to suffer through sickness, trial, being thrown incredible and unfair curveballs to whatever degree, like you, like me. So, we also read that if these children of God did what God told them to do in the time of crisis, that's the big if, because God speaks to his children like right now in the time of crisis, like right now God speaks to you in the time of crisis, and the question is, are you listening? Same thing for me. So God speaks to his people in the time of crisis, and he gives them plans, and he makes a way where there is no way, and he can open doors that are shut. He can give you favor. He can lead you and guide you. He can transform your circumstances. He can make you, no matter what it looks like temporarily, he can make you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and he can make you victorious in the spiritual and material battle that you're in now. That is a really, really heavy truth. And that should impact you with a wallop, not to harm you, but like with an infusion of Holy Spirit energy and anointing. You should be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And your inner man and your inner woman should resonate with the truth of God's word. Because we are in, wherever you're listening to me, on the Paul McGuire Report from, whether it's someplace in Europe or Asia or North America or South America or wherever, somewhere in the U.S., wherever it is, and you're facing the trial potentially related to the pandemic of COVID, the economic problems, the occupational job problems, money problems, economic problems, social problems, psychological stressors that would include things like depression, anxiety, etc. Stress on relationships like marriages and parents and children and stuff. And just a lot of psychological wear and tear, physical wear and tear, and then the other wear and tear things I just talked about. And the only difference between you, I really am asking you to I'm not asking you this to you to insult you in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so please forgive me if it comes off that way. But I'm asking you directly, for the purpose of setting you free. I pray that this program, the Paul McGuire Report, this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, would be used by God right now to set you free and your loved ones free. So, because of that, I'm going to speak the truth to you in love. And I'm going to ask you, you are in a trial, a spiritual battle, a conflict, a spiritual war, whatever you want to call it, to varying degrees right now. And what has increased the intensity of the trials and the spiritual battles is things like what's happening in our nation and society and world right now. And yet, I know for a fact from studying God's word, from communicating God's word, I know for a fact that the Bible gives countless examples of how God supernaturally equipped, guided, gave knowledge to, gave wisdom to, opened doors for, met their material needs over and above, led them, gave them favor. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But there's no difference between me and you and the person that lives next to us, you know, on the street that we live in for many practical purposes. There's no difference between me and you and people who don't call themselves Christians or are of another religion or are of no religion. Let's say they're atheists, like I used to be an atheist. I was raised as an atheist. The only difference between me and you and other people is not because we're better, because we're not, but we are saved, and because of that, we are His child. We are God's child. And benefits come with that if we'll put our faith in prayer and asking God to deliver those benefits to us. God will, no matter how intensely heated the spiritual battle may be in your life right now, if you call on God, if you ask Him in prayer to do things, and you stand on the promises of His word, God will then supernaturally intervene into your life. God will then step into your life. He'll change the direction of the spiritual battle. God will give you the power to be victorious. He'll give you the power to be an overcomer. He'll supply for you supernaturally if you walk in His ways. He'll guide you and give you knowledge if you walk in His ways. And He can transform highly negative circumstances. God can transform them and redeem them and give your life joy and hope and strength and peace and anointing. How is that possible? For only one reason. Once again, let's state the obvious. You and I are not better than anybody else. The only difference is that when we become saved by receiving Jesus Christ, first asking Christ to forgive us of our sins by His blood, then asking Jesus Christ to come into our lives and make us born again, then we're saved. And then we are His children, and we're given His authority, His power, and all His benefits like wisdom and supply and favor and guidance and on and on. So you see, a game changer is on the way for you because of who you are in Christ, not because of how good you are any particular day. A game changer is on the way. Now, that doesn't mean we ignore reality. That doesn't mean that we ignore or push aside other areas of our reality, such as economic facts, medical facts, biological facts, job, employment, occupation facts, and facts, logic, and reason. In any dimension that we're operating in, we should have backup facts to some degree that are based on history, historical research, reason, logic, perception, knowledge, wisdom. See, that's the great dynamic tension in the Christian life. By tension, I don't mean tension like being uptight or having a migraine headache or high blood pressure. When I use the word tension, that's not what I'm talking about. When I say it's part of the great dynamic tension of the Christian life, think of the Christian life like you were getting on top of a surfboard and a beautiful, desirable wave was coming up on you quickly. Well, what would you do? Well, if you were a surfer, you would recognize that this is a wave you've got to ride. Number two is you'd position yourself and the surfboard you were on properly, and then you would prepare yourself and start paddling in order to catch the wave. Now, if you catch the wave right and you manage and navigate the wave right, then you're in for a very pleasurable and enjoyable experience when you get to travel however far for however many minutes or seconds, riding that incredible wave. And you're not, and the thing about the waves, the wave carries the power and momentum to carry you. You're having a joy ride. You know, it's not like digging a ditch to ride a great wave in the surf. So when I say the dynamic tension in the Christian life, I'm using the term tension as a metaphor, like in, your toes at the end of a surfboard, and you're balancing just perfectly to ride that wave. There's a dynamic tension there, but it's a wonderful one. It's an ecstatic one. There's a dynamic tension there between pressing too little and losing control of the surfboard, or pressing too hard and veering off the surfboard and plunging into the ocean, and then having a wave smash all over you. There's a tension between being too light and being too hard on the board. But if you navigate that surfboard with the wave, you're in for a great experience. In numerous ways, the Christian life is just like that. So we're here now, and we don't have to be knocked over by a wave or waves. Because when we read and study the Old Testament and the New Testament, we read story after story of how God delivered his people, provided for his people, won battles for his people, directed his people, guidance for his people, all these specific things that God did for and supplied for his children and their life in this physical realm we call reality. In a moment, I'm going to go back and expose an ancient secret, because there are ancient secrets regarding what we've been talking about. This is certainly not the first crisis to hit planet Earth. Planet Earth has experienced plagues, pandemics before. Planet Earth has experienced national and global economic crises before. In fact, planet Earth has experienced what I document in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. Mankind has had to deal with what are called mass casualty events, where potentially millions and millions of people could die, or billions and billions of people could die. And yet history records, as I point out in my book, history records the fact that mankind had to manage their way through these mass casualty events. So you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. It's important. We're expanding. We want to reach more people for Jesus Christ. We want to reach the people that are the most rejecting of the gospel. Those are the ones we want to reach. We want to save souls, make disciples of all nations, and teach people a biblical worldview so they understand God's truth. Now, this is what God has called us to do, and we are throwing all of our energy into that. That's my number one goal. I want to thank every one of you that have supported us with your intercessory prayer warfare for us. I want to thank you for spreading our messages and our links. So important to people everywhere, so that if we mysteriously were to say goodbye, we would be able to say hello again. You know what I'm talking about. And finally, I want to thank all of you who have sought the Lord, asked Jesus what to do, and that you have given financially to this ministry. You simply gave whatever God told you to do, whatever God put in your heart. You obeyed him with childlike faith, and I want to thank God for every one of you in any of those categories. Thank you, because we are going to continue on. The most, you know, there's nothing more important, nothing, that to heal our society, to heal our nation on so many levels. One of the most powerful things that we can do to heal our society on multiple levels is to preach the gospel effectively and win souls and lead people into being born again and being saved. Every time we evangelize, a certain percentage of the people accept Christ. Some it's seed planting. Some are backsliders who get convicted and return to Christ. But you see, when people are born again or living in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes their whole mental attitude, what they do, what they don't do. And guess what? That embeds itself in our nation, in our society, and it becomes perhaps one of the most powerful healing forces that there is. So that's the most important thing we can do, along with others. But we're busy winning souls for Christ, and that means we have to expand our social media outreach, our internet outreach. Outreach at every level has to be expanded aggressively. Why? Because if you understand the signs of the times, which you do, Jesus said to you and me that the fields were ripe for harvest. So right now, all those people who could potentially accept Christ and have their souls saved, they hear the gospel from a ministry like ours, they can be saved. They can be brought to Christ. And this is the time, the minute, and the hour to do that. And if we recognize the signs of the times that Christ told us about, which includes pandemics and plagues and other things, all of that, according to Christ, accelerates before his return. So we know that his return is drawing closer, and we want to be found, you want to be found, I want to be found, to be faithful in soul winning, because it's one of the primary jobs that God has given us. And you want to be a faithful soul winner, and I want to be a faithful soul winner. And the way we do that is to be faithful, to win souls, or to partner with people who do win souls. This is critical. We'll be back in just a moment, and write down, capture, copy, paste, whatever, but do the whole thing about all of our sites. And you can do that by going to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. I want to get into a secret, the secret of secret societies, and the secret essentially held by the elite, or what is now called the globalist elite, a term I've been using for decades, by the way, or the Luciferian elite, or the globalist elite. But planet Earth does have an elite class, and every society on every continent has always had a 1%, you want to call them, an elite group that had all the money and all the power. And essentially, the way the game plays out most of the time is that the elite are the kings and the queens and the rulers, and the ordinary people throughout most of history and in the majority of nations, the average person is usually a slave. This is something very important. That's why I keep saying over and over again, knowledge is power. Because you have Christians making public statements, private statements, but sometimes to groups of people. You have Christians making statements where what comes out of their mouth is like complete insanity and completely historically false. It is a total mythology. It's a total lie to say that, you know, all throughout human history, there's always been a middle class, a working class, a working middle class. That is a lie. That is a complete lie. Throughout all of human history, with the exception of the United States of America, it doesn't matter what you think. There's such a thing called historical fact. And in some cases, ancient Israel, America has been the only nation in history which has created a space for a middle class, working middle class, to develop. And so most nations don't have a middle class. They have like a slave class or a very poor working class, and then they have the elite. That's the way it is most of the time. Now, the elite from, and this is something that began to really grab hold of my attention years ago. And the reason it grabbed hold of my attention years ago is because in the environment that I grew up in, we were middle class. I was raised an atheist, but my parents, their friends, they mixed with people that were intellectual, creative. Some of them were movers and shakers, and I was exposed to people from a variety of socioeconomic backgrounds or whatever. So I began to want to know what was this invisible boundary between the average person or poor people or the working class, and then finally the wealthy, the rich, and then the super rich or the elite. But what was the difference? What's the boundary? Well, it was very hard for me to understand because I was making my decision based on what I was hearing in the media, based on what I was learning in the school system, and none of the so-called official areas of knowledge and wisdom could give me any clue whatsoever what this secret was that I wasn't even sure that existed, that I was on the hunt for. I had the feeling that I was being left out intentionally. I was not given certain segments of knowledge intentionally. And I began to realize that there were groups and that there were levels and compartmentalization to things like money and power and knowledge that enabled some to rule and some to be enslaved. But it was mysterious to me. And then, as I began to study history, which I still do today, when I began to study history, read books like crazy, notice that I did not notice that I have never said on this radio program, and this radio program has had various forms for decades, I have never said on this radio program ever that I gained my knowledge from school or college or university or high school or public education, whatever. Notice that I have never once said that I was able to think, I was able to perceive, I was able to gain knowledge, and not once have I ever even remotely given credit to the school system. And it's not because of some kind of bitterness in me. It's because the fact of the matter is, very little of what I was taught in the school system was worth anything. You may think it was worth something. To me, it was a complete waste of time. They did not educate me regarding any of the critical factors that I needed to know the answers to. So finally, after years of reading and studying and searching and reading books, etc., and self-educating, finally, the pieces of the puzzle, by the grace of God, began to, they stopped looking like random pieces of a puzzle, you know, scattered all over the floor. It's just a meaningless mess of puzzle pieces. Well, reality stopped looking like a meaningless mess of puzzle pieces. And the puzzle pieces very slowly started to assemble with other puzzle pieces. And I could begin to see for the first time in my life the beginnings of coherent pictures and shapes that had a definite meaning. I knew what the puzzle pieces were because they were like in the process of being assembled before me. And so instead of everything being mystical and a hodgepodge of abstract forms, now the puzzle pieces took on photographic meaning, and they could teach me things. I could learn things. Same with reading about history. If you read the right books, you will get what you're looking for. If you continue to read the books for idiots that are essentially what is the curriculum of the educational system, you will not grow in your mind, and you will never find answers, because it's not designed to give you answers. It's designed to deprive you of knowledge. And if you think, well, Paul, that's an exaggeration. No, it's not an exaggeration. It's actually an understatement if you do your homework. So, for example, in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and in Conquering the Matrix, I quote Aldous Huxley, huge mover and shaker among the elite, author of Brave New World, and he literally said, lecturing to a convention of neuropsychiatrists at the University of Berkeley in 1961, Huxley said that in the ideal, perfectly formed scientific dictatorship, we will be so efficient at programming men and women to be our slaves, he said, that the men and women will not even know that they are slaves once we're finished, and we will program them so efficiently that they will learn to love all of their duties as slaves. And this was the theme of Huxley's book, Brave New World. Huxley was spelling out for anybody who wanted to hear the way our society was really structured. He just came out and said it. And that is the way our society is really structured. And what I discovered through decades and decades of research is that you could trace a link to the knowledge I just talked about, and you can go all the way back in the Bible. In fact, you can go to Genesis 11 and read about ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel and the secret occult knowledge, secret society cult that was birthed in ancient Babylon, known as Mystery Babylon. And in that secret society occult Mystery Babylon, what the elite learned and kept carefully hidden in secret societies was the master secrets to power, money, wealth, control of others, making others your slaves, and how to dominate the world, how to rule the world. That's what they're doing. And it should be obvious to you because they're not hiding it. It's being done in plain sight. I mean, even the symbols of it are not hidden. They're in plain sight. They're totally in plain sight. If you have the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to see it and perceive it. And then if you do, if you can see it and perceive it, and if you understand it, then you have, you can receive from God all the spiritual weapons that you need to defeat it, to be a victorious overcomer, to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Because even though they will say openly, now remember, Huxley was part of this secret occult societies, big ones in Great Britain. Huxley was deep into it. But remember, it goes back way, way, way back to ancient Babylon at the time of the Tower of Babel. And then it has been spread through secret occult societies from empire to empire, from king to king, from pharaoh to pharaoh, for thousands and thousands of years. The secretive occult elite, or what I started calling the Luciferian elite in my book, Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2. They secretly rule the world, but they have to do it through secret societies, because if everybody knew what they were up to, they would be outraged and furious, and they wouldn't stand for it. So the secret to the secret societies is that they keep their power and their knowledge and their wisdom and a secret from the masses, the middle class, the evangelical Christians. They keep all that knowledge secret from them. But here's the agonizing thing. They keep it secret from them only because the evangelical Christians, the ordinary people, they put up with it. They put up with it. They go along with it. So they cooperate. Oh, you can be smarter if you don't read books. Then I'm not going to read books. I'm just going to play video games all day long. And then you become stupider and stupider. And as that happens, you become deeper and deeper a slave and less a free person. And let me just say this to you in love. God never created any man and woman to be a slave. And God never designed or created his children to be slaves. Above all, please understand that God created you out of love to be free. God created you to be free. God created Adam and Eve to be free. God created all men and women to be free. Now, if men and women turn their backs on God's promise of freedom, which they often do, and end up becoming slaves, well, that's not the fault of God. So I want to finish with this. In whatever struggle you're facing, it's not God's will that you should be a slave. God wants to set you free. But the critical thing is, you must get the knowledge to get the power, to get the freedom. You must get the wisdom to get the knowledge, the power, the freedom. You see, one does not come without another. And when you read my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, you will read so many historical accounts about the secret occult battle for America at the very beginning, when the forces of the Rosicrucians and high, high planet Earth occultists, I mean, high up high up secret societies were ruling the world. And they set things in motion which are happening now, right before our very eyes. The problem is that most people are so dumbed down, including Christians, that they can't see the obvious. And that shouldn't be. Read my books in a book bundle, save money. Get yourself a copy of The Greatest Battle in Conquering the Matrix at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Spread this message far and wide.